Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Fourth and final hour of NFL Sunday here. It is week 11 in the NFL. Keith Fourier and Wiggy broadcasting from our Best Yet studio here in Boston. Time now to talk with Tom E. Kern from NBC Sports Boston. Tom, how are you, sir?
I am tremendous, Richard. How are you today?
Very, very good. We're just taking in some of these 1 o'clock games right now. And I know this is something that you had written about during the bye week here, but with the Ravens smacking up the Texans right now, 24-0, and they look like they're in complete control. They look really good. How do you handicap the Patriots' chances of holding on to the home field advantage throughout the AFC playoffs?
Well, you know, they have the Patriots, obviously, and we've talked about it ad infinitum, a tremendous challenge going on with, you know, Dallas that's playing great today with Kansas City, which remains to be seen how they'll do. But all of these games are going to be really critical for them because the way the Ravens are plowing, what impresses me about what the Ravens are doing is not only did they show the poise to respond after the win over the Patriots with another beatdown of a bad team, and we've seen teams lose their focus and play poorly afterwards, but what they're doing today against an ostensibly good team is showing me the amount of poise and focus that this team has. So, yeah, I mean, the Patriots are one loss and a Ravens win away from being in second place in the AFC, and that's not something we anticipated as they were plowing out to an 8-0 record.
Well, when you look at their schedules, Tom, both of the Ravens and the Patriots, I think they're both in kind of like similar fashion where they can't drop – one team can't drop a game because, you know, their schedule, and they have – you know, the Ravens have – they got the 49ers, they're at Buffalo, so they got some pretty good teams left. So don't you think that both of these teams are looking at each other and go, we got to be, the Patriots are going, we got to stay one game ahead, and the Ravens are like, we got to make up that one game?
Yeah, absolutely. But I mean, the Ravens have to feel great about the fact that they were able to secure that win. I mean, there's no denying that was a critical win that changed the recipe for everything, because the Ravens already have a crap loss on their hands, on their record, the 40-25 loss to the Cleveland Browns. I've been using against them as a sledgehammer. Yeah, well, I mean, how can you lose to the Baker Mayfield and allow 40 points to the Browns if you're a legitimate team? Well, they've kind of taken a sledgehammer to the idea that that was, you know, something that you can hold against them by what they've continued to do week in and week out. What's interesting to me, guys, though, is if the Patriots do wind up on the road in the playoffs and it's Baltimore that they visit, I don't think that's as bad as Denver or leaving the time zone to play someplace else, have to play in Kansas City. I think Baltimore is a tough place to play, but I don't think it compares to some of the other places that they could wind up, worst case scenario.
So what are you most intrigued with when it comes to today's game? A couple of things that we threw out was N'Keal Harry, how he's going to look, defense rebounding, kicking situation. I guess those are your three options. What do you think is the most intriguing?
Do they stick with the up-tempo stuff, Christian? Do they continue to say, you know what? Our best way of establishing a running game is just to beat a defense into the ground by not letting it substitute. So we're going to stick James White and Rex Burkhead, either one of those two, on the field 90% of the time, no fullback, maybe one tight end, 11 personnel, and just try and run you into the ground. That, to me, because that's the best by far that their running game looked, was in their last meeting with Baltimore. And the reason they piled up a decent yards per carry average was because they wore the Ravens down, not because they suddenly were exploding holes in the defense. So that's my first thing that I'm curious to see. And then secondarily, what do the Patriots do offensively in terms of establishing Mohamed Sanu? Is he relied upon? Do they become more diverse in the guys they throw to? Or is it a Julian Edelman, Mohamed Sanu, 27-28 target combined type of day?
What do you think the Patriots end up doing to try to slow down Zach Ertz, considering he's really their only healthy, solid option on offense?
They got the two options. They can either do, you know, what they did a few years ago, believe it or not, with Charles Clay, which is to send the double on him and then have, at that time, Darrell Revis cover the second-best Miami Dolphins receiver when Clay was there, or just put Steph Gilmore on Zach Ertz. Now, I think the fact that you don't have Patrick Chung out there, and he's your best tight end cover guy, generally speaking, and you'd rather have McCourty playing the deep center field, changes things. But I really think they're all kind of interchangeable at the safety position. So I would say, you know, let him be doubled. Take Carson Wentz's eyes away from him for the simple fact that he's doubled and make him throw elsewhere and put Gilmore on. I mean, who do you put him on? I mean, there's right. nobody. Whiteside? Aguilar?
Yeah.
I don't even know if anybody right. rises
steep
to the level
drop
of attacking.
Off.
Well, it works out in the it works out for Patriots' benefit because they don't have that other guy outside that when you Carson Wentz takes his eyes away, he can now go to, you know, Alshon Jeffries or somebody of that caliber. The thing that I wanted your thoughts on, we know, and Christian said, what are some of the things that you're going to be looking at? What about the red zone scoring, especially where, you know, what role N'Keal Harry could potentially play into that being a big body down there? What do you expect them to do moving forward when they get into the red zone and coming away with touchdowns? Because that's where they've really struggled, it seemed like, here for these past few weeks.
I'm going to flip that, Wiggy, and mm-hmm. I'm going to ask you and Christian Uh-oh. About what the play call is and how the construct is of the play where the guy runs the back line, because that's a place that I haven't seen a touchdown scored in a long time. The guy, the third option where Brady basically is throwing it directly at the crossbar and there's a David Givens or a Jabbar Gaffney or someone like that running the end line. They don't have anyone to do that. What is that play? Do you foresee N'Keal Harry being available back there?
Well, I mean, we've seen Amendola do that before, and that's just, you know, usually what he does is it's that option route that Edelman will run that hopefully will suck up some of that coverage, and if he's not open on, like, you know, that quick, like, return route or the little option route that he runs, mm-hmm. then maybe they dump it over the top, but you got to ask the question, who is that guy? I don't really – Philip Dorsett is really not that guy. Usually it's a guy who can go up and kind of pluck it out of the sky, and maybe it could be
right.
a N'Keal.
So that's why I think N'Keal Harry is going to have relevance in the red zone. You now have somebody who – and I swear to God, I mean, you guys have seen him at training camp. He's 6'4", 6'5". He jumps out of the gym. He is going to be – and the two catches he made, even as frustrating as it's been for him to have no role and play one quarter of a preseason game, he is talented, and he is going to make some spectacular catches between now and the end of the regular season. And to think of that guy being able to fill that role with the back of the end zone to complement the return routes, the stuff that are at the doorstep of the end zone that, you know, Edelman, because, you know, maybe James White runs, that, I think that's a big part of it too. And also coming off the edge, or at least in motion, to deliver blocks on the, you know, end of the defensive line, linebacker, whoever is out on the perimeter, is going to be another thing that they can look at. Edelman's willing to do it, but it's a hell of a lot different if it's a guy who's 225.
Hey, you know, I don't know if you were paying attention, but Alex Guerrero came on the morning show with me, and he said something I think most of the other 31 teams probably didn't want to hear. When he referred to when he referenced Brady playing to 46 and 47, I mean, everyone thought it was going to be 45. Now he's mentioning 46 and 47. I mean, if that's the case, I mean, Jesus, I think it never ends, right?
No, and great job by you. Really, I truly mean that. Great hustle, and I thought all the guests were great. The conversation was great. My mechanic Tim Andrews down there at Andrews Family Automotive in Lakeville, he texts me. He goes, "This is really good radio with Fourier, you know." I said, "Yeah, it's because he's been on for 20 hours. I'm tired to be exhausting."
But what'd you make of that
but
comment?
I think that with Guerrero,
yeah,
and that statement, that I think is Brady when he's feeling great. Oh man, I could do this forever. But I think there's other elements to it too, Christian, that enter into it. Contract.
Well, that's the other thing. So
the
relationship
with teammates, the relationship with Bill Belichick, the relationship with ownership. Where does he want his family to be as his kids are entering, you know, high school, middle school, all those things? Those are the things that are going to start to invade his thinking more than just, hey, I can do this forever.
Yeah, but if the Patriots hear that and they're, you know, shouldn't that be I just think about the contract because you're right, because he's going to be a free agent. And what about another team who says, wait, well, I just heard him, his body coach, his buddy of all buddies say 46 to 47. So, hey, a long-term deal isn't out of the question anymore.
Yeah, and the Patriots want no part of that. They haven't wanted a part of that at 41, 42, and they're certainly not going to want a part of that at 43. That's why, you know, the chips are being pushed into the middle of the table over the next few months. But again, I think that when it comes down to it, and he makes a decision as to where am I going to play in 2020 and 2021, it's going to be more than just how good he feels. I mean, you know, I watched A Football Life, the Barry Sanders one last night.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that eventually, no matter how much he loves it, there's going to be a point at which the desire to continue and go and do all the things surrounding the game might be what wears Brady down. The 60 minutes, the preparation, all of it, he loves the 60 minutes of football. But maybe all the trappings and all, like when we see the team building that goes on in the offseason and the roster building and the bringing players up to speed and the offseason stuff, he just wants to play now, it seems to me. So it'll be interesting if he conquers all the other things that come along with it.
Don't you think Christian's follow-up question to Guerrero should have been, well, how do you feel Brady would feel playing somewhere else, having to start over? If he wants to play to 46 to 47, could you see him, envision him playing for another team? Because I just can't see Brady starting over with another organization and going to OTAs and have to build a relationship and all that.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, too, is if it's wearing his ass out. But what is wearing his ass out here? Is it the 20 years of being with Belichick in this structure and saying, look, I feel as if there's a point at which I've been getting paid less than I ought to be paid, and it's gone on too long, and I want to be someplace else? Is $30 million going to make him feel that much better than 23 and someplace else? With all the things that he'll have to withstand and with, you know, go through to make that franchise and that team solid enough to compete? Or will the novelty of being in a new place and having it all be new be rejuvenating? I mean, that's the other thing to it, Wiggy, is would that maybe be the variety as the spice of life that he needs to reinvigorate things there?
Yeah, but I feel like players are more creatures of habit. You know, if they can.
He certainly is. You're right.
I mean,
I'm just thinking out loud.
Yeah, if we can stay somewhere where it's good, why would you want to then now potentially run that risk of going somewhere and have to, now I got to learn the playbook. I got to be there for OTAs. I got to get these guys to kind of catch up to speed.
Yeah. Well, and then the other flip is, too, if you look at the Patriots themselves, do they want Tom Brady here? There's 31 other teams who may, or at least.
Right.
10 to
so
15.
Jared Stidham
certainly
is
would fall
the next,
all over themselves.
Yeah,
but the Patriots of mine, look, you know, he's unbelievable, but we got to move on and we can't give him what he wants. And he's only going to be mad when we don't give him what he wants. I wish maybe that he'd figure it out to either take that 1 year deal that we continue to offer him and deal with it, or maybe somebody else will find something for him. This is a huge game today, and I feel like maybe we might be going far afield from.
Yeah,
because there's so much uncertainty, we're not going to come to any conclusions. But I do think everything's on the table.
Do you think in 4 years they should franchise Stidham?
That's what's next.
But I mean,
they could have had Lamar.
They could. This is also not Patriots Eagles related, but I do have to just get your thought on it because of the. Rob Gronkowski, once again, teasing a big announcement. He's got this big announcer coming up on Tuesday. Do you think, though, Tom, that it could get to the point where some of this stuff starts to negatively impact him, meaning some of the people who follow him and like him and love him, they follow him on those social medias, they're excited to see what he's going to do next, even if it happens to be the movies or the WWE or some game show. But if you keep toying with people and basically hoping that they think you're going to announce that you're going to return and you don't return, that you may lose people this way?
Yeah, but I mean, what are you going to lose? I mean, that's the thing is, yes, you will. You can't stand out there and say, big announcement. I made a boom boom.
Yeah, right.
Every 15 minutes and people aren't going to care anymore. But if you know that and you're only trying to increase your money, might as well strike while the iron's hot. There's only 1 year people are really going to give a crap about it. Maybe
true.
This year and next.
True.
So use the marketing leverage that you've built, because there will be a point at which it's extinguished and your relevance as being able to come back is gone. So might as well use it for what you're going to, which is clearly not going to be to announce a return, right?
Wiggy's holding out hope, yes. But
hey, listen,
nobody else is.
Cap's been doing it for 3 years, so I'm giving Gronk 3 years.
That's true, Kaepernick. Yeah, I guess the other league issue here, Tom, who looks worse in all of this? Is it the NFL or Kaepernick?
If you really look closely at it, it's got to be the league, because nobody was demanding this workout, this song and dance, this circus to even happen. So the league unilaterally to try and whatever, you know, drive a stake through all conversation, ultimately that they close the door on Colin Kaepernick, you know, set him up to say, come on in, door's open. This way you can never deny that we gave you a chance. Mm-hmm. But in the end, both did what was best for their business. What was best for the NFL's business was to pretend that Colin Kaepernick was welcome. And what was best for Colin Kaepernick's business, especially with his constituency, was to make it seem as if the NFL never wanted him around anyway and had him over a barrel. Look, I think both sides ultimately couldn't find common ground, because finding common ground, especially in Kaepernick's case, especially in his case, finding common ground with the NFL that he has demonized would have completely undermined his platform.
Wiggy, for you, anything else?
No, yeah. I think I'm so sick of the whole thing.
I know. I just want to get his opinion on it.
And
sorry.
No. You're doing a good job. You know, to take a cue from Wiggy, you really should have said this, Keith.
I would have been like, that would have been interesting to see. What Guerrero would have said. I know I asked Gronkowski when he was on, like, could you see Tom playing for another team? Because I can't. And Guerrero would be the perfect
I think he has a good answer where it's like a non-answer, like a Tom Brady answer. And then you're like, then we talk about it for a week and we're like, oh, what did he really mean by it?
You're probably not getting anything out of it. But Christian was the one that led me to believe to go over and say, okay, there's no chance that he retires next year.
Yeah.
And so if there's no chance, that I don't believe there's a chance that he plays for another team. It's just too much going on.
Yeah.
You know what's great is that Christian sat there for the last 7 minutes stewing, waiting.
Yeah, he's mad at Wiggy. That's 100% right. He wasn't mad about the Kaepernick question. He's mad at Wiggy.
You are 100% correct. 100%.
Oh, yeah? So when you were up for 30 hours, that's what you would have asked him? That would have been your follow-up 30 hours later?
I can't be an
hour 20.
Wait a second, Christian. I can't be a deep stater?
No, you can't. You can't be. You can't be that. Tom, do you got the Patriots today, or you got the Eagles upset?
I had the Eagles during the week, and then I started looking at everybody falling like flies. So I've gone Patriots 26-13.
All right. Tom E. Kern, NBC Sports Boston. Thanks for the time. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Tom.
All right. Good stuff, as always, from Tom Kern.
Stater?
No, you are. But you're also sort of like armchair quarterback there.
Yeah, well, that's what you do as an armchair.
Right? You sit there, you're like, hey, you know what I would have asked? It's like, well, you weren't there. You could have had the opportunity.
You're
the only guy at the station that wasn't on during the 25 for 25.
Thank you, Keith. Christian asked me
to come one time and one time only. That was between 2 and 4 a.m.
Listen, Kaepernick, when you're told to come, that's when you come.
See, there's where you missed out. That was the best time to come on. That was the late night hours were the best out of the entire show. The late night hours. And I specifically asked for you knowing that energy would be there.
Good energy.
Attitude.
Yeah, right.
We could do whatever the hell we wanted to do. But then instead of Wiggy, I got Gilroy in Bradford. Thank you,
that's
Wiggy.
That's a nice time, too. You'll always remember that. Yeah. Gilroy and Bradford.
I got kids, Christian. I got kids, man.
Yeah, that's what he told me last time. I said, I got 7.
Yeah, not a great excuse.
Yeah, that doesn't work.
No, I
think the best time, and I really enjoyed the interview with Guerrero.
Most of it.
No. No, but he's like the
That was a great interview.
I don't know how you guys got him. However you got him, kudos to them.
Fourier, he gets fixed up by him. Oh, how do you think
okay.
he got him?
Well, kudos to Christian, right?
he just kept calling the office there.
Is
he there now? Is he there now?
Not only to get him, but to have him come in studio.
Yeah, that was cool.
Because if you can't get Tom Brady, I think Alex Guerrero is the second best guy to get.
They did get Tom Brady also.
Not in studio.
Yeah.
I agree with you. It is different, though, when you have these guests in studio. It's 100 times better.
So much better is right.
What are you going to do? Like, not everyone can be there, but even on a regular basis.
You can have a real conversation with them.
Oh, yeah, because when they're on the phone, you don't even know what they're really doing. They're probably playing like video games and walking around, reading something, watching TV. Yeah.
And I think that interview, it shed so much light on Brady's future. We obviously know about the 46, 47, right? We all thought 45, but now we're saying...
Oh, he's not retiring.
Right, he's not retiring. So it shed so much light. And then you just factor in, well, Guerrero's like, I've only moved to the South Shore.
He's not that far.
Yeah, I'm not that far. And I think that was, you know, that was a because there's I think you even get more from Alex than you would from Tom Brady's dad.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Well, because
Tom Brady's dad is pretty. There's no filter.
He's done some pretty famous interviews.
Yeah, I would think that, you know, because they work together so much on a daily basis, Guerrero and Brady.
Yeah, maybe.
There might be.
Yeah, but he's also pretty good. Like, he's real careful with how he answers it.
Well, that whole Brady campus.
Yeah, they are.
I love the dad is so reckless. He's just like, wow, whatever.
What year was it that he said he or Tom and the Patriots, that relationship would not end well? That was like 10 years ago, and we still reference it.
Right.
When Brady said, I forget even who he was talking to. But he mentioned that, and everybody still goes back to
that. Well, they use it like it happened a year ago.
Yeah. No, but I think you might just be right. I think he just kind of called it out.
What did you guys think of the whole, because a couple years ago, there was this whole, they're on a collision course, right? And Alex comes on and talks about how he high fives Bill.
That was cool.
I'll
take him at his word. I think Guerrero and Belichick's relationship is fine. I think it was my guess, just from everything I read, all this different stuff and all the different sources that were out there, was that Belichick was probably getting sick of the trainers being annoyed that half the roster is going to see Alex. And I'm like, is this guy the head trainer or am I the head trainer?
Right.
Or the training staff? What are we doing here?
And the strength staff.
Right. That specifically we heard about all those guys. Like, hey, how come you're not squatting today?
Right.
Well, I don't have to squat. What are we doing here? I think you're getting mixed messages there.
Don't undercut me. Just say, hey, you want to work out with Alex? Right. You can do it after.
And then Bill's
you've done-
like, I just want to worry about football. Right. I thought also the biggest newsworthy thing, I think the 46 or 47 was pretty attention grabbing.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest newsworthy thing to me was that Guerrero said that he has worked on Bill Belichick.
Right. That was another one.
I'd never heard that before. How about this?
Right.
He obviously hates him so much that he's going to go get his back fixed by him or shoulder or whatever. That's pretty fascinating.
And you know why that was? It was obvious. I mean, the training staff and they're very territorial.
Yeah.
So after that year, I can't remember what the dude's name is, but they brought in one guy to oversee all those areas. So one guy is in charge of training room and weight room.
Oh.
So it's not, they can't work independently anymore. So, because it was an issue. Because there was a lot of miscommunication. I'm not telling you. And, you know, and the training staff is responsible for rehabbing, but yet they don't know. So they brought one guy in to handle all the stuff. I can't remember what his name is, but it was kind of went unnoticed for a while. Oh. And nobody really mentioned anything about it because there was a reshuffling of, roles. And because they don't want to have that problem again. You know, they don't want anybody's feelings getting hurt, you know. And guys who used to have a lot of power got some of their power taken away, and it hurt some people's feelings. But in the end, it made for a better overall just mechanics of, you know, operating procedures, I guess, overall.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Well, that's why I listen.
I just break some more news?
Every Sunday.
That's why I am the Monday morning quarterback. When I listen to you guys have the interview, and I, Rich, have talked about Michael Irvin and your interview do with him, Christian, with the Alex Guerrero interview and some of the other interviews. But that's why I'm just like, he's right next to Brady, whether it's Brady's dad and then Guerrero. You can't have a better person to have in studio than Alex Guerrero.
Yeah, so for you, don't feel bad, because during the break, Wiggy actually told me of a question I should ask Michael Irvin.
Yes.
Dead serious.
I was gonna
not even
rank,
joking. Yeah.
If I was going to rank all the guests, Like, Michael Irvin, to me, still surprised. I used to hate him. And I actually think he is one of the best interviews on the show. Not on your show. I think
just in general. No, I know. Yeah, he's good.
I love him. I think he is so matter of fact. I love him. He's always out of his mind, too.
Yes, he is. He's always, like cracking himself up, and he's just, like, he's hysterical. But, yeah, no, he's always good to talk to every Friday on Dale and Keefe. All right, when we come back, we're going to do some player props. Player props. Pats and Eagles. See how we think this game is going to shake down. Then we'll have our picks before 4 o'clock. This is NFL
Ravens
Sunday.
Ravens are beating the crap out of the
Texans. Oh, man,
Ravens are a beat.
Sorry.
Best team in the league, but you heard
they
it here
look
first.
Good.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon, now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
More of NFL Sunday right now with Christian Fourier, Jermaine Wiggins, and Rich Keefe on Sports Radio WEEI.
Back here on NFL Sunday, it is Keefe, Fourier, and Wiggy taking up until 4 o'clock. Patriots and Eagles kick off at 4:25. I got some player props. You guys want to play player props?
Okay.
These are always fun. Get a sense of what you think the game is going to be. These are all real bets. What is this? Who's got this? Some odds book here. Carson Wentz, passing yards, over under 225.5.
Under.
Yeah, I'm going to go under on that one.
Ooh, okay.
225?
225.5.
Why do they have to stick a half in there?
They got just this way there's a guaranteed winner and a loser here.
Okay, good.
Guaranteed.
That's
you don't want to push.
That shows you how stupid I am.
Yeah, you don't want to push during these props. I mean, you could, but you don't want
to. You don't have
give
him
money back.
No receivers.
So you're going under. How about I'll take the under. They got nobody to throw to.
Yeah.
He's getting nobody, to throw to.
Ertz and Goddard.
This number seems low. Rushing yards for Carson Wentz, 13.5.
For him?
Yeah.
I'm going to go over.
I mean, definitely. He might get that on one. Like
yeah.
one sort of one, broken one play.
Yeah, I get that.
You can get like a 15-yard gain, run out of bounds, and then that's it. Interceptions. Basically, yes or no, does he throw a pick?
Carson Wentz?
Yeah.
Yes, everybody does.
Yeah.
Everybody does against the Pats, you're right.
Yes, except Lamar Jackson because he rarely throws it. And when he does, it's play action. The guy's wide open.
Touchdown passes for Carson Wentz is 1.5.
Under.
Yeah.
I really don't expect much out of this this offense at all. Receiving yards for Mohamed Sanu, 49.5.
Over.
Over.
Yeah, but does he need 10 catches to get it again?
Oh, he might.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was so wait, 49. So let's say so he's got a so 49. So basically 5 catches, 10-yard average.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's probably good for more than
yeah,
that.
Yeah, but he's
maybe Nikhil takes him away from him.
He's a not.
Ooh.
I mean, what is he? A 9-yard. 9-yard catch guy, 9-yard average catch guy.
There's no, yeah.
Right, isn't that right. Weird? I mean, he's kind of like Julian Edelman, right?
Yeah, he is.
I was going to say, like, wouldn't it be, it's almost like you have two Julian Edelmans now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And do you need to?
Well, would you say
guess
that
it's always good to have
had,
one?
When they had Danny Amendola, did you say that they had two?
Yeah.
Yeah, but he didn't play, like, he was like
a lot.
Well, I mean, when he played, he made big plays, but
right.
He wasn't an every down guy. So
I still go back to I'm like a broken record with this, but I always go back to the Super Bowl win over the Falcons. The top three most targeted players on the Pats were Edelman, Amendola, and James White.
Mm-hmm.
And now you have Edelman, Sanu, and James White.
Works for me.
It's pretty similar. Now, there's a little bit more depth that year because you had Martellus Bennett, you had Malcolm Mitchell, and you had Chris Hogan.
Right.
Now you have not much. You have Philip Dorsett, maybe Nikhil Harry. Mm-hmm. and the tight end du jour.
Well, like, the way their offense rolls, it's, you know, just if you can, hey, if it's first down and you can get me seven, guess what? It's second and three.
Yeah.
So, I mean, no big deal. If it's third and five, Sanu, and you get me six, guess what? It's first and ten. You know what I find to be overrated is the average yards per catch. You know, it's like you look at a receiver and he has to have 15 yards a catch.
Oh, no. No, he doesn't have to.
But if a guy has nine and is a receiver, you look and go,
Wouldn't you want kind of like a balance? Like, would you, or like a mix? Not from the player, because the player's average is what it is. But I'm just saying, like, on your team, wouldn't you rather have, you know, here's your kind of your deep guy. Here's your, like,
well, yeah,
your,
I mean,
you'd
want that on your personnel.
Yeah.
Right. But at the end of the day, I want guys that can move the chains.
No, it's definitely overrated because Chris Hogan led the league 1 year in yards per catch.
Right. Like, so if you catch one ball a game and it's for 30 yards.
Yeah. Like, okay, great. Sony Michel rushing yards over under 42.5.
Over.
Yeah. It may be 100 carries.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's gonna be 20 carries or whatever it is, but yeah, I would think that they would run.
Well, he's averaging 53 yards a game, so.
Tom Brady passing yards 280.5.
280, wow.
They've been throwing a lot though. They're one of the more pass heavy teams.
I'm gonna say over.
If you don't think Sony Michel is going to get 50 yards,
right? I would go under on Sony and then over here on.
But like you said, this team is going to be, and then if they had success at the no huddle moving the football, you know, that'll be something that Brady will throw the ball, and he's probably averaging. I wonder what Brady's average attempts are per game. I bet you they're up around.
They're up there.
I bet you they're 40.
Oh, they're really high.
He has the most attempts throwing from the air, either first or second in the league.
Oh, just like pass attempts per game.
Total pass attempts. He's got first or second. I don't know. Check that for me, John, back there.
Yeah,
he's got 355 pass attempts.
And where's that
season
rank him?
We don't have that kind of information. We don't have all of that.
You know what, Wiggy? That's terrible.
He is third. He's third in pass attempts.
Okay.
He's third. All right. Well,
but he's tied for the most per game, because Philip Rivers and Kyler Murray each have more, but they've played 10 games. Brady, believe it or not, Brady, Jameis Winston, and Jared Goff through 9 games have the exact same number of pass attempts. How that happens, I don't know, but they do. But yeah, they throw it. They definitely throw it a ton. I mean, passing yards, Brady's ranks pretty high up in the league.
Yeah, I bet you
Is Brady going to be a Pro Bowler this year?
No. Well, I said that pretty quick, but
yeah,
Patrick
you did. But who's standing out? Lamar
Jackson, 100%. There you go. Lamar Jackson. Mahomes, because by the end of the year, he'll have played in 14 games. So that's enough. Yeah. Mahomes will be in there.
So there's two.
And then
maybe one more.
Today's game is horrible, but if you take the whole season, Deshaun Watson's been better. He's horrible today.
I don't know if that's enough. I don't know if that's enough.
What do you mean?
I just feel like you're going to have – so that'll be their fourth loss, team loss. He's looked great, and he's looked crappy. I'm not sure.
All right, what about this one? Sneaky having a really quality season. Derek Carr.
No. Because the guy told you
– he's sixth in quarterback rating. He has 14 touchdowns, 4 picks, and they could make the playoffs.
But it comes down to how these guys, you know, players and fans votes, right? So fans vote for the Pro Bowl too.
Yeah,
and Brady's got the number.
I didn't think Brady should make it last year.
But Brady's got the number one selling jersey.
Correct. Oh, he'll always get that part.
He'll always get the fan vote, and for the most part, he'll get the players vote.
But Lamar Jackson, we all say without a doubt, over him.
Yeah, Lamar Jackson,
Mahomes probably over him.
Yep.
So now he's in a fight for the third spot with Deshaun Watson.
Well, they only take two. How many did they take?
Three per conference. Okay. Now they all say no, and then they end up taking like 10 more because of whatever. But is he one of the three best quarterbacks in the AFC right now? I would say no.
Who, Brady?
Yeah, I don't think so.
Isn't it weird, though? I kind of feel like it's the LeBron James. When we talk about, like, even if James Harden gets the MVP or Steph Curry gets it or, you know, whoever gets it, you still think, well, you know, LeBron James is still the best player in the NBA. He just ended up scoring more points because it ends up being a points average. Or Michael Jordan was playing, like,
wait, so
Tom
you
Malone
still
got
you
it,
still
or,
think? Wait, hold on. You still think Tom Brady is the best player in the league?
No, I still think if you were going to line them up, if you're going to line them up, and maybe that's just based on my favoritism.
Yeah.
I still pick them every time.
It's hard not to pick them.
But that's what you're missing, Rich.
If that's the case, then why wouldn't he be considered the best in the NFL?
Oh, because I don't. Because I think Russell Wilson. Like, if you had to pick Russell Wilson or Tom Brady, who are you going to win a game this season? I'm picking Russell Wilson every time.
For a game or MVP?
Both. Both. This season, I think he is. I think so. I know exactly what Fourier is saying.
So we're playing,
I don't feel that way about Brady anymore. So, I think he's still. I think you can still win with him. Or I think that's a useless argument.
So we're in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And you can have one quarterback, Brady or Wilson.
I'm taking Wilson. In 2019.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
No, you know what? I'm fine with that. I mean, he's.
I'd still take Brady.
I think there's an argument still to be had for Brady. Like the whole, you have one game to win. Who would you take? I just think at this point, Wilson and Mahomes have passed him by, and that might be.
You
it.
Ask me.
That might be it.
You ask me MVP. Yeah. I'm going to give it to Russell Wilson.
Yeah, me too.
But
although
if you
Lamar
say,
Jackson coming on strong.
But if you said, all right,
it's
the Super Bowl, you got one game,
yeah,
I'm going Brady. And if we're talking pro bowling, the way you're saying, okay, pro bowling, we're going either Brady, Derek Carr, or Deshaun Watson.
That's what I think so. For the third AFC quarterback.
I think most people are going to vote Brady.
But that's also not the Pro Bowl voting, and again, I guess people can vote any way you want, but it's not supposed to be you have one game. It's supposed to be who had the best season. And at the end of the year, whatever you want it to be, touchdowns, wins, yards, quarterback rating, doesn't matter. Brady's going to be lower than all those other
guys.
Well,
it should be.
With the exception of wins, which again is super important.
It should be based on statistics. That's the problem. That's where I got bumped out.
Right. Because it's name value.
Right.
Yeah. So
if it was based on statistics, he wouldn't be the third guy in.
Right. All right. Let's come back. We'll do our pick. We'll find out how we're doing picking games against the spread this year. Then we'll pick the Patriots games and two others. And then we'll say goodbye here on NFL Sunday, brought to you by Kaplansky Insurance, the right coverage at the right price, Kaplansky.com. Also in part by the New England Kubota Tractor Dealers and Needham Bank.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, time now for our picks as we are wrapping things up here on NFL Sunday, Week 11, Patriots and Eagles, a little over a half hour from now. Time for our picks, which are brought to you by your Boston area Mercedes-Benz dealers. John, how did we do last week during the Patriots bye?
Well, big bounce back week for Christian Fourier, who had a horrible week the week before picking and went 1-2. Christian Fourier 3-0, Rich Keefe 3-0, Jermaine Wiggins 2-1. And on the season, that brings us to a dead heat tie between Keefe and Fourier at 18-12 for first place. Jermaine Wiggins 17 and 13. He picked wrong on Dallas last
week. Oh, ooh. Dallas screwed
eight, me. I'll tell you, 18 and 12 for a nothing to sneeze at.
No, pretty 17 good. And 13. I'm one game behind, that's baby. Nice. I'm like the Baltimore Ravens.
We should probably jump on the winner's circle pod there with John and Sean.
I'm ready.
That's what I think we should do.
I'm more than willing to take a guest spot.
Yeah, I think we should have maybe just for some of our picks.
Well, we record at 3 p.m. during your show, well, Fourier, so maybe during a break you can hop out.
You got to sneak out there. All right, so we have three picks here, all against the spread, as always, including the Patriots game. Patriots are on the road, but they are 4.5-point favorites against the Eagles. Wiggy, what do you got?
I'm going Pats.
All right, Fourier. We should just have that like recorded because I don't think he's bet against the Pats.
I do think,
and he never
one,
will.
I do think this one. Would is you go be against
him?
Close.
I have gone against him this year.
I'm not saying you haven't, but in this game,
yeah. Well, we'll see.
I'll go. The Pats will cover. I got.
I don't think you've won against them this year.
I think I went against the Pats.
And what did you pick? Baltimore
to cover the spread. I don't think I did.
Right. So then you didn't go against them. Because prior to Baltimore.
No, wasn't it? They had some game where they were like 17 or
week
20.
Week one, Keith took the Pittsburgh Steelers plus 5.5 against the Patriots.
There you go.
And how'd that work for you?
Terribly.
He went, got it wrong.
Yes, terribly. I got the Patriots as well. I think they win by a touchdown. I just think if Jordan Howard, I said this, but if Howard and Jeffrey were playing, I think there's a much better chance where it's at the very least close, maybe even an upset. I just feel like this Patriots team doesn't feel like they're going to go 15-1, so something
got to give.
Something's got to give, but not this week. Not this week. I think they win that game. All right, Sunday.
Well, we get Christian.
No, he said Pats.
I think Pats.
Oh,
he said
he?
Pats. Yeah, okay. He said Pats. All right, Sunday Night Football. I can't believe they didn't flex this game out. The 4-5 Bears at the 5-4 Rams. The LA Rams are at home and they are 6-point favorites.
I'm going Rams.
I'm going to take the Rams. The Bears' offense is Bears such
stink.
Trash.
They
it's
stink.
Such trash. And the Rams are 5-4. They right. need this game.
And the Rams
stay in the mix.
The Rams have enough offensive weapons.
Yeah. I just feel like the Rams, they just keep letting us down. Well, let me down.
Yeah.
Basically. Right. I just feel like they're going to figure it out. They're going to figure it out. They're going to figure it out. Because Sean McVay is a genius, right?
He is an offensive genius.
Yeah, so I'll take Rams too.
Yeah. Anybody who's ever met him has a head coaching job now in the NFL, which is really nice. All right, and the Monday night game, the game is being played in Mexico City, so that may factor into your pick here. The 6-4 Chiefs against the 4-6 Chargers, Kansas City favored by 4.
Well, I don't think this. I think I got Chiefs. I feel like all these are now. Nah, I'm gonna
trap
I'm
games.
Gonna regret this.
Trap games.
Trap games. But I also say no brainer. Maybe that's why it's a trap game.
Yeah. I know. I think we're just falling. We're falling in love with the favorites here.
I'm going
just
with
assuming
the
they're all going to cover. But I'm
the
gonna
Chargers stink though.
I don't like the Chargers, and it's not even a home game for them. Like they're the ones that are losing a home game. But I'm going with the Chiefs. What did you say, John?
That was me counting you down in your ear.
Oh,
that was off air.
Unnecessary. I am a trained professional. I don't need any kind of countdowns. So we're all going with the same picks. Very exciting.
Yeah.
Very exciting.
Nobody's going to gain any ground.
Final bold prediction. Not bold prediction, but just on the record prediction for N'Keal Harry. Give me a catches, yards, and yes or no touchdown.
Yeah, over and on the 3 catches.
I'm going to go under.
I'm going to go over.
I'm going to say 2-4-21. And no touchdowns.
Okay. I'm going to go 4-48.
Fourier?
Sure. I totally was not paying attention.
All right. If you missed any of today's show, remember you can listen to the entire program on the
radio.com
app using the new Rewind feature.
Four.
If you still don't have the app, just text APP to 37937. That'll do it for us. Everybody have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.